direct from the Los Angeles Underground. It's time for your new favorite podcast, The Superiority Complex.
It's like honey in your ear hole.
I'm going to just let that one marinate for a second. That sounded great.
You got to let it marinate.
That sounded fantastic. Mm-hmm. Good job, Justine. How do you feel right now?
Sore.
You've been working at Justine, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. Justine always looks fabulous, as do the entire crew always here.
Nice save.
Probably the best looking crew in all of podcasting, save for the host. I have a face for radio. But yeah, good looking crew. Even Patrick and, you know, Patrick's got that kind of like, what would you call a Patrick look? Kind of like a little bit between emo and somewhere between emo and an alt-right guy, like right in there.
Alt-right? I don't see that at all.
Wow. Hey, the kids are alt-right. And then... you got...
I think he's got that fine light, like hipster dad.
Hipster dad bod kind of a thing going on.
Yeah.
And then you got John. You know, John's just like this just bear of a man with a beautiful beard and just, you know... Looks good. Always good. Well-kept beard, by the way, John. Yeah. I like that.
Always.
Always.
Thank you.
I hate a sloppy beard.
Thank you.
Hate it. Hate it. You too. You too, Patrick. You keep it. You keep yours pretty.
Keep it clean.
I shave before I come to the show because I know you'll judge me.
Says a man with, by the way, I have 3 days worth of stubble on my face.
That's 3 days of stubble?
It's the Ringo Starr Yasser Arafat look.
This is overnight.
Never done, Johnson, Miami Vice. I say, how do you have a perpetual 5 o'clock shadow? It's never really a beard. Yeah. It's never clean shaven.
Like Homer Simpson.
Yeah, it's like, how do you always have just 5 o'clock shadow?
Jake, of course, has the boyish charm, boyish good looks.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Not by choice, but
little baby face. But Justine, you have really been, you've been doing keto, and now you're doing CrossFit. How do you
know? Not CrossFit. It's something.
Justine, how do you know someone does keto? Yeah. Or CrossFit.
They tell you about it?
Don't worry. They'll tell you about it. Thank you. Stepping on a joke there, buddy. We're still
friends. Don't worry. She already told you about it.
Yeah. No, but seriously, what are you doing? What's your regimen right now?
Right now? Mm-hmm. Well, they have their own diet, so I'm stopping keto to do theirs, but it's hard.
Yeah.
Because I just haven't had carbs in a long time, and they're letting me do it, and I don't want to.
Your body's kind of rejecting it.
It was rejecting it, really rejecting it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's like that.
Yeah.
But it's letting me, like, I get to have these protein bars now that are kind of sweet, so it just tastes like dessert to me. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. And I can have bananas now and apples.
It's amazing when you don't have sugar, and then you have something, like you gave me a keto bar today that had no sugar in it, but to me was sweet because it was chocolate.
Sweet.
Yeah. But... had you given me that, like, when I was in the throat, before I became diabetic, I would have gone, this tastes like nothing.
Right? So when you get a little bit, it's amazing.
When your body,
yeah.
Well, that's why I can only, like, stevia. If I use stevia.
Yeah.
Like, so, thanks to Patrick, I'm enjoying a venti green tea with stevia.
Splenda.
But,
I mean,
that's a large, so Splenda. But if I do stevia in that, like, stevia will sometimes hurt my teeth because I'm not used to having any sugar whatsoever. But it's very sweet.
I get a headache when I put too much stevia.
It's like starving your body and then having some food. And it's the best food you ever had.
It's like, exactly right. What does Eddie Murphy say? Like when he's comparing being married to, after you're married for a while, it's like, if all you know are saltine crackers and someone gives you a Ritz, and he's like, oh my God. Pardon me while I take a sip there. But you look fantastic. You feel good? You're sore. What was your workout yesterday?
This morning.
What did you do?
Damn.
Walk us through it.
We did some, there's names for it. We did a skater lunge. I had to push those thingies. Like it had like 50 pounds of weight on it and you just push it across the room.
Okay.
And then take it back.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's those you stack the weights on it and it slides across the floor, right?
Yeah.
Oh,
God. I went through that, but that was fine. It's when we do our planks and our jumps and our cardio. We did a mountain climbers where you're down and in your legs. But I'm always next to some girl who just like
kills
killing it. And you're like, well, Now I got to match her, so I'm matching her every time, but I'm dying.
That's good.
And plus, she's taller, so when she jumps on the boxes, I'm not making it as fast as her.
It's okay.
That's really... So we do, like, the burpees, and then I jump on the box, burpees, jump on box, burpees, jump on box.
Oh, burpees.
I got a burp.
I'm tired of thinking of just thinking about the burpees.
I know.
And aren't you tired just hearing about it? You're like, wow.
But you
No, because they're just like...
No, we're going to all go take a nap.
You get like 10-second breaks. You're doing 20 seconds of it. No, 40 seconds. Alarm goes off. Then you do 40 seconds of the other thing. 40 seconds. You do that three rounds. And then you rotate to a different area. And you do it again. But that short time is really helpful. And for it to be only 30 minutes is really good.
So there's 30-minute... Oh, so it's... That's usually high intensity stuff. It's like short intervals.
It's very short. Yeah. So once you're doing it, you're like, I'm going to have to do this like two more rounds. Get over these stupid. The ones that's been killing me is battle ropes. I freaking hate battle ropes.
So it's all done in 30 minutes. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's only 30
minutes.
But
it's 30 minutes of butt hell. Kicking
high
intensity.
Intense. Yeah. Hell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's working. You look fantastic.
Yeah.
How do you feel? You have more energy?
Yeah.
Sleeping
well,
better?
I just started. I took a recovery. I'm trying to find a good pre-workout. Yeah.
That's pre-workout. That's crack.
I'm just always sore now. So now I have that recovery one. That's just what I need to get over. Is my
Someone would bring pre-workout into work when they
that's
into,
messed up
into work. And
that's
they,
not
they
right.
would use it as like an energy drink and they
hell
gave
no.
me some one time.
Dude, that shit makes your skin itch.
I was bouncing off the walls. Like,
well, yeah, they
what
told
is this
me.
Stuff?
I told her, I was like, what's a good pre-workout? And she's like, well, why don't you just drink coffee? She's like, well, do you drink coffee? I'm like, no. And they're like, don't start. I'm like, okay. So then they were like,
so what else is there?
A pre-workout.
It's pre it's
I
like
just
high
need more
it's kind of like an energy
I'm...
stuff. Yeah, just have a coffee.
It's seriously
it clears
like
you just want to make sure that you don't have a lot of sugars though in your pre-workout. Yeah.
It clears the decks for you and then you're ready to work out if you have coffee.
But if you've never drank coffee before, it's probably best not to start.
Yeah, they just told me not to since
it's not really that good for you.
It's what do you mean talking about?
Well, they've kind of changed on that. Now they're going, oh, it's good for you. After like a 50 years of saying it's not very good
for you.
Well,
it's good if you just have black coffee. Once you put creamer in, that's pretty bad.
No, creamer is delicious.
Or sugar.
Yeah, a little bit of creamer.
Well, they have like MTC oil you can put in there to help with the creamer. And like.
Let me tell you something. Like the BC Boys said, I like my sugar with coffee and cream. All right. Speaking of the BC Boys, BC Boys documentary will be out in April in theaters, and then after that it's on Apple TV.
Yeah.
So all you affluent people with no kids and Jesus. Dual incomes
can watch it on your watch.
Can watch it on your watch or whatever.
Let's go to IMAX and watch it. Let's make it.
We're gonna go see
let's
it.
Have a field trip.
Yeah,
let's go. Let's go see it in
we're
IMAX.
We're definitely gonna go see it in IMAX, of course.
Well
yep.
Let's go. Have a
don't
it's gonna be an hour and 20 minutes of that.
What?
I'm
like
doing
a,
I am.
Like
I'm
a,
doing
a,
the
yeah.
don't you tell me to stop.
Let's go. Let's have a field trip.
What's your favorite Beastie Boys song? Let's go around the table.
Sabotage.
That's ooh.
Sabotage.
That is good. Mm.
Jake.
I think I have to agree with Sabotage. That's a good one.
Patrick.
I like Sabotage.
Justine.
He's a little sorry.
You like Paul Revere?
That is my favorite. Paul just Revere. The start of it. Is
Paul Revere
like,
is pretty great.
And it just gets like intense. Mm-hmm. Just freaking
me
love
too.
That.
Drop.
I gotta go with Gratitude. Listen to that song. That's a great jam. Gratitude, baby. The Beastie Boys, always the best band around. Best band in the land. Let's talk about it, guys. Big news this week: the death of Kobe Bryant. We don't want to bum anybody out, and obviously, Kobe leaves behind a very, 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 very complicated legacy. Obviously. But it's amazing to see that one person, what you think of him or not.
What an
impact he had on not just Los Angeles, but globally. People all over the world mourning, and the United States especially. People I never would have thought came out
like
on
who?
Facebook. Like just
who?
Friends I have that were like, I was such a huge fan, or he impacted me in such a way.
And like you said, you thought he'd be around forever.
It's one of those things.
He's going to be one of those old man Kobe.
Yeah, exactly. You were going to see him. You know, all these other legends are still around. Legends from when I was a kid. Dr. J is still alive. You know, Magic, Kareem, all these guys that were huge. When it, you know, and They were retired before Kobe came around, and he had an entire career, a 20-year career, and gone. And then, you know, the tragedy, added tragedy of his daughter and several other families being with him, his daughter's teammates, their, you know, mom, there was a mom and a dad taken out, and you know,
it's just like a weekend when you have kids that play sports. I played soccer when I was little, and softball, and they'd always drive us, and you'd have other kids with you too.
Yeah.
Just like traveling with other families too for those
events. Yeah, and it's
those are your weekends when you're in sports.
Yeah, so it's it was kind of a, you know, it was the initial shock of, you know, hey, you know, Kobe's gone, and then the added tragedy of not just his daughter, but several other family, you know, the coach of the Orange Coast College coach, his family, and then, you know, the assistant coach of the team, her, you know, basically husband is left to raise three children now. So it's a big tragedy. I think what happens in these situations is it really gives you pause, and you realize that nothing in life is guaranteed. And so it really gives you, you know, makes people stop and think about what's important in their life. You kind of take stock of what's important. And I know that's definitely something that, you know, I do in this situation, especially being the father of a teenage daughter. You think, wow, you know, there's no reason to think that I'm not going to walk out of here and someone's lifting a piano around the corner, right, and it doesn't fall on my head.
You never know.
You know, you never know.
Or injects you with window cleaner.
Oh my gosh. We're going to get to that later. But
we're trying to have a moment here. Yeah. You're making us think of Randy Brooks.
No, you should listen to Shaq's statement on ESPN about it. It's like a 5-7 minute long. Just
well,
because
he
about
lost
it.
His sister, and that was sad too.
And Shaq was so close to Kobe,
and they did not get along for a little
while.
No,
they did
not. Let's be very clear about that. They were teammates, and they didn't always get along. And then after Shaq left, they kind of mended the fences. And
yeah.
But we were talking about this before the show, that Kobe wanted to play at such a level and did not understand when people did not want to play at that level. They did not live up to the potential he felt they had, and he would be very hard on that. He could be very driven, but you don't get to be, and not that this excuses his behavior, you don't get to play at that level and be one of the greatest if you're complacent.
Well, that's just like my sister's friend, Alex Morgan.
Mm-hmm.
They all hated playing soccer with her. They hated playing with her.
Because she's on another level.
And she's amazing.
Yeah,
so
that's it. There's a
that's
reason.
That's what their memories of her, that she's just...
She was a difficult,
very confident girl.
Well, that's, you know,
you need that.
You don't get to that. You don't get to that level of expertise in anything without having some.
You have to know you're good.
Or, yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, if you don't think that Kobe's making those shots because he doesn't know he can't bury a dagger in somebody else's heart, then, you know, you're gravely mistaken. And that's the very reason that he would be like, give me the ball. And he took a lot of heat for that, especially late in his career when his skills get kind of diminished. But he was out there hustling every day and out there working. James Worthy was on the local sports, what is it, AM570, and he was on Petros of Monday, and he was talking about, he said that Kobe had, in his 17th year in the league, Kobe contacted James Worthy and said, I want to talk to you. Can you come work out with me? I want to find out some of the footwork you used to use when you would post up on people. So he was still in his 17th year trying to improve his game. He was, as far as, you know, James Worthy played under Dean Smith. So when he was coaching his daughter, he said, can you please come and help me run through some of the drills that Dean Smith put you guys through? I want to use them for my daughter's team. So he was always looking, even after, was always looking to improve the game. And then to what you were saying, kind of a point that you were making earlier about Kobe being just, you know, just so focused on being the best player he could be. James Worthy said that, you know, you have to understand Kobe had no hobbies. You know, he's like, Michael Jordan had golf and smoked cigars. Kobe had no hobbies except trying to improve his, that was his hobby, was trying.
So
to
even
try
when
to
be, he's off the court, that's all he's thinking
that's
about.
That's all he's thinking
is
about.
The next,
always
yeah, the
thinking
next,
about.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, to me,
it's his life.
My wife and I started going to Laker games the year before Kobe came into the league. I introduced Nicole to, you know, professional basketball, the Lakers. She was never really, she was a fan. She just never really paid attention. So we started going to games at the Forum, and she loved it. She really got into it. So the next year, here comes Kobe. We get to see him. You know, didn't start out. He wasn't like LeBron, where they just like put it, you know, it was, he had to earn his spot, and he, within, you know, a year or two, he was, you know, regular part of that team, but he really had to kind of, you know, prove himself. But you could see those flashes here and there. You could see flashes. I have an image in my head of Kobe just throwing up this jumper. It was like a buzzer beater. It was a buzzer beater at halftime. But I still remember how he would elongate like his body and like do that, just that. And his daughter does it too. Yeah, like you watch the video of his little daughter playing, and so it's just amazing. To watch that level of athleticism, because we can all play basketball. We can go outside right now, and whether we're good or bad, we know the essentials of the game. You know, we can
play a game of basketball.
When you watch somebody perform at that level and just consistently be that good night after night, year after year, then that's where the respect comes in. And that's where you realize the quote unquote mama mentality, where he could be hard on other players and all that, is kind of, it comes from, you know, but you see the dividends it yields as well.
That's how he's winning championships. You know?
Yeah.
That's it. You have to. You can't, there's no room for
false modesty. That's how he had five championship rings. And
yeah. And I just want to, you know, I don't know. I know, Justine, you're probably the biggest sports fan in here aside from myself. That's not to slam anybody else here. Some people like sports and some people don't. But
everybody knows Kobe.
Everybody knows Kobe.
I mean, so he's one of those athletes that has moved on to, it's not just about, you know, Lakers basketball. I mean, he's a he's a cultural phenomenon. He's a, you know.
Well, I don't know if
he's a force of nature.
And beloved in Los Angeles, like John brought up the point, he never left L.A.
Yeah.
20 years, you know. You had
20 years at the same team. How many people do that?
Yeah.
And then he didn't move out of L.A. once he was done. He stayed in L.A., you know.
Yeah, there's a very few players. Magic's another one that, you know, just spent his whole career here.
Yeah.
And retire as a Laker. Yeah. You come in as a Laker, you retire as a Laker. And you know, who knows how long Magic would have gone had he not, been diagnosed as HIV positive. You know, he had, his career was kind of cut short. You know,
How many years did he play?
He came in the league in 80 and he retired in 92.
So 12 years. 93,
12, 13 years. Yeah. So Kobe was 20, and who knows how much longer he would have played, you know? Yeah. But Kobe managed to make it 20 years. And then on his final game, drops like 60 points, puts together this performance where you're like,
That was a crazy way to go out. I mean, that's like something for a movie.
Yeah,
that's Kobe.
Yeah. If you could write a finale for a movie, it's
not
unbelievable.
And of course, you know, you're playing the Utah Jazz, you know, and it's kind of a game that, you know, the Lakers aren't going anywhere. But at the same time, it's like they're down with like 3 minutes to go, and Kobe, like he has so many times, is like, well, I'm gonna carry us. We're gonna win this thing, and I'm gonna be the one that does it.
Yeah.
And just starts going up, and you know, and just you can see him, like, you know, he's like sucking air because he's trying to, you know. But I mean, some of those guys are out there, you know, probably 10 years younger than he is, and just, you know, but he puts everybody on his shoulders and says, well, I'm going to carry you across the finish line, and does it. And that was the greatest way to go out for me. That's one of the greatest.
Hard to think of another athlete that went out like that, you know.
You know, a lot of those old games are like, oh, it's his last game, and it's kind of like a, you know, just jogs out on court. You know, Kobe played the full, you know, he was out
there.
That's
the way he wanted to go out, you know. He went out exactly the way he wanted to, you know.
Wife and kids there, you know, celebrities, Jack Nicholson, everybody in the, you know, Snoop Dogg, everything. And
I don't think Jack Nicholson ever missed a game.
He doesn't. He does more now.
He's a lot older now.
Now that the Lakers are winning, I see him there again.
Yeah. He's back.
I don't want to say anything about Jack, but he might be a little bit of a fair weather fan. Not like the great Diane Cannon who was there.
I have a shirt that is yellow and purple, and it has Jack Nicholson in there, and he's just yelling. So it looks like it's going to be like a Laker thing, but it's just Jack Nicholson.
Somebody
yelling.
Posted a great picture of Chick Hearn interviewing Kobe when he was young, you know? And I was like, wow, that they're reunited. That's awesome. Like,
wow.
Chick Hearn, like, got to see. That's probably like the last thing you get to see. It's amazing, though, how much how just it was weird. I don't think I was expecting. I know how much Kobe meant to me, you know, means to Laker fans, right? But at the same time, like John said, he's transcended it. And so you see people from all walks of life. And you see how just the city of L.A. is kind of like, you know.
I think everybody migrated toward Staples Center.
Well,
you know. They just started getting in their cars and driving there.
And it was kind of, you know, one thing I will say, if there's a silver lining, it's for the last 2 days, 3 days since it happened, you kind of, everything that's been kind of bothering or you know, stuff, like the impeachment, all that stuff, still important.
Uh-huh.
But people have put aside like political differences to go, God dang, you know, like, yeah. Did you hear about Kobe? You know, what a tragedy, you know.
There aren't too many moments like that.
Yeah.
Where everyone kind of comes together and goes, okay, you know, got to put things in perspective, you know.
We just had the anniversary of the Challenger disaster. And that's another event, I think, like that. Like,
yeah.
Where people kind of.
It goes beyond. Or like 9/11.
Yeah.
For a couple of weeks, you forget what side of the political spectrum you're on. You know?
And so if there was a silver lining to anything in a situation that's tragic.
That's what it takes sometimes to bring people together.
Yeah.
It's too bad that's what it takes. But
yeah. Like I said, I just wanted to play this clip for you real quick. But John, let's see if you can guess who this is here. Let's let me see if this is not a, make sure there's no. I know what I'm doing.
It's a commercial.
I'm learning. It's a commercial. Here you go. Here we go. Oops, sorry.
Do you recognize this man? No, he's not a very tall, slim right-hander.
Oh.
He's not somebody who's trying out for the Dodgers. That's Kobe Bryant of the world champion Lakers. Threw out the first ball tonight, gets a hug from Dave Hansen, and he got an ovation from this crowd. What a brilliant basketball player, young Kobe Bryant.
Hitting off for the San Diego Padres.
How about that?
Nice.
You get to hear Vin. It's always nice to hear Vin. But Kobe was actually a big Dodgers fan, too. There's some pictures of him. So, and all of downtown L.A. was lit up purple and gold this week, John. Did you see that?
No.
There were some photos of it.
New York, the Empire.
Yeah, the Empire State Building.
Really?
What's amazing is all the people that were all the people that were sort of opponents.
Sure.
You know, Doc Rivers, coach of the Celtics, broke down crying.
I heard that. That was really touching.
Yeah.
That was something.
That's terrible.
Yeah.
When you hear about people who were opponents,
sure.
They come out and say...
Well, there's a respect there, you know.
Cult 45 podcast, they posted a great thing. You know, they're from Houston, and they said, you know, I never liked playing against you, but respect for, you know. So, you know, you just... It's really cool to see that, and it's kind of cool. Like I said, again, the man leaves a complicated legacy. We don't want to gloss over anything, but at the same time, you know... Your own personal feelings aside, it is pretty amazing to see kind of everybody kind of focus on this and kind of everybody had a different story, you know, everybody had a different connection to him. You know, like I said, my wife and I got to see him very early on. And it's like, I told her, like, we got to see him grow up, you know, this 18-year-old kid, but, you know, and then here he is, a dad of four daughters, and then, you know, and then taken away. So, Kobe, I will still say Kobe when I throw things away. I just want you guys to know that will not stop. You guys all bear witness, are witnesses, every time I throw something away here.
You have to.
It's generational. Kobe, you got to say it, man. So
always.
I'll never stop saying it. Mm-hmm. Guys, let's talk about it. I had something else to tell you guys. I forgot. Has anyone caught up on any more Oscar films? Anyone? I saw 1917.
Wow, was it?
Technically brilliant.
Did it leave you?
Done like one take. You know, it was a little distracting because I kept trying to see where they hit it, like how they, what do they do?
All the way through the movie you're looking?
I'm kind of all the way through the movie looking.
Because I've heard people say that they just stop after the first 10 minutes.
Let me tell you what I feel about this movie. This movie was very Kubrick-esque in that... I felt it was technically brilliant, but I felt it was a little aloof.
Really?
A little. And
interesting.
For me, I didn't get a lot of the like, I know I was supposed to feel certain things at certain times.
Is that right? It was a little cold.
It was a little, to me, it was a little cold.
You know, it's funny because I saw a trailer yesterday. I saw a new trailer for it because now it's like moving into more theaters. And the trailer almost brought me to tears. I thought, gee, this is just a 30-second trailer.
Maybe you should, I don't know. Maybe
but you know, the people that cut the trailers are not the people that cut the movie.
Yeah. So. No, it's. I definitely go see it. If you get a chance to see it on the big screen, see it. It's made for to see.
So like Paths of Glory, where the skill's there, but it's leaving you a little cold?
Well, you know, Paths of Glory, actually, just because of the acting, kind of gets me.
Kirk Douglas is anything but cold.
Everybody's good. There's...
Like Full Metal Jacket. People always talk about
that.
A
little bit like...
It's a little cold-blooded.
I think it's just because there's so much... technically, you know what? I'll tell you what.
With Kubrick, everything looks symmetrical. It looks like it's completely like you got a T square on every scene.
I'll tell you what it is. It's a little bit like people are gonna rake me over the coals with this. It's a little bit for me. It was a little bit like Rise of Skywalker, where there's so much going on sometimes that you don't have time. There aren't a lot of quiet little. I mean, there are quiet moments where you're just kind of
watching them
move through the countryside. But at the same time, there's just
a lot of bombast.
Well, there's no... You get a little backstory here, a little backstory there. Mm-hmm. But I feel like they were really like, hey, you know from the trailer, we've got to find this guy's brother. So that's all the emotion you need to know. He's looking for his brother. And like, you know, how would you feel? But they don't give you a lot of, you know. So...
Yeah.
But definitely see it. Definitely see it. And, you know, a lot of great cameos pop up. And they're not distracting. Everybody kind of has their role, and they play them well. And they
Benedict Cumberbatch.
Benedict Cumberbatch is
in there.
In it for a minute. Yeah. There's a couple of other actors that are in it for a minute. In it for a minute to win it. And by the way, spoiler alert: the Germans are bad.
Thank God,
they're Huns.
But they're good in Jojo Rabbit, right?
Yes, they're great in Jojo Rabbit. There are good Germans.
Your eye roll.
Those Huns.
They're good. They're good people. On both sides.
Oh boy!
Hello, what happened? I'm watching a great. If you're on Netflix, if you got Netflix, really good documentary. It's called The Great Events of World War II in color. I think they went back and colorized all the footage. So.
That's the guy who did Lord of the Rings, right?
That's World War One.
That's World War One.
They shall not grow old.
Which I just rewatched.
I need to see.
Fantastic.
That.
You will. I don't know how you'll feel about them colorizing the footage.
Well, I'm not crazy about colorizing like movies, but I can see there might be some value in documentary footage. Like with World War One, they got it playing at the correct speed. He wanted to kind of like remove the distance you have from that footage.
Well, what's great is in the beginning of that movie, they have stuff that's they show it and they're talking over it, and it's under crank like it usually is, and it slowly begins to pan in and fill up the screen, and then the time slowly gets corrected, so it looks.
Is that the Peter Jackson?
That's the Peter Jackson. Yeah. So it's worth checking out.
I heard what he had to say about that. He was trying to remove the distance of 100 years, so correct the speed, clean up the footage, get the colors right, get the sound effects, get the voices of the soldiers.
Yeah.
He's just trying to close the gap. It's not quite the same as colorizing "It's a Wonderful Life."
Yeah. The Great Events of World War II is the same thing. They computer colorized it.
How do you feel about that?
I don't mind if it's documentary footage. I don't mind.
Historical.
Yeah.
Stuff,
no.
Yeah.
It's, you know what it is too. If that's what you need to do to get like
somebody to
care about history, then it's,
and they get the colors right. They go back and they look at all the uniforms and the flags, and it's not just them like a paint by numbers set.
Yeah.
They're literally trying to get it right.
Well, yeah, so. The computer can correct a lot of the computer can figure out that it's weird. They can
they have the technology to have the grayscale be corrected to whatever color it actually is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's kind of cool. Mm-hmm. So,
really?
Yeah.
And
they can figure out what color it is from the gray.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And they had lip readers go in and figure out what each of the...
I heard about that.
Each
that's,
of the soldiers
nuts.
Were saying.
Yeah.
So they got close approximations to what
they were saying. Wow. That I did hear about. I did not know about what they could do with the gray.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They can tell what color it was from the way the gray photographs. Mm-hmm. That's amazing.
Yeah. And my only complaint about... World War II, the great events of World War II in color is that sharp-eyed digital movie club veterans will recognize footage from The Longest Day inserted into the Yeah, there was one scene I was like, oh, Longest Day. Oh, Longest Day. So they fudged it a little bit to try to get some, So just be careful when you when you're watching that.
Who put that together?
It's a BBC production because it's narrated by Derek Jacobi.
Really?
Or Derek Jacobi. Hey.
That's interesting. You know, they've been doing something on like, is it American History Channel? Or what do they call it now? The American History or Heroes Channel or something. They do a lot of that World War II in color. Is this different from that?
No, this is on. This is a Netflix special.
Because there is a station. I don't know what the station is. If it's AMC or if it's History Channel. Somebody's been doing that the last couple of years, World War II in color. And actually, one of those shows, what they did is they tried to dig up every bit of footage that is in color. There's a there's one show where they tried to dig up, there's not much color footage of World War II, but they tried to dig up everything that was already shot in color. And that's kind of interesting.
Here, I think, oh, hold on. If it's, I'm going to find it here.
You know,
it tore our world apart.
The Germans simply believed that Britain was going to be destroyed by a single knockout blow.
And defined the 20th century.
Yeah. And what the Germans are going to get out of it is a free hand to invade Poland.
Using fully restored and unseen footage, greatest events of World War II in color start Sunday the 1st of September on Viasat History.
So
it tore right here, our world apart.
Play that again.
The Germans simply believed that Britain was going to be destroyed by a single knockout blow.
And defined the 20th century.
Right there.
And what the Germans are going to get out of it is a free
hand. And then I just noticed something else from like Midway or something.
Is that Jeremy Irons?
No.
Derek Jacobi?
That was Max Hastings. But some of the footage is amazing. Some of the, they have a lot of footage from like that was recovered from like the German side of the war, stuff like that, like the Japanese. That stuff's really amazing.
And you've never seen it before.
You've never seen it before. They have stuff from like the Battle of Stalingrad from the Russians.
Wow.
So that's it's cool. Pretty amazing. So just be careful that, you know, just obviously they probably figured nobody's going to notice, whatever.
So you go, that's from 1941.
Just to kind of.
The thing with the Santa Claus, that's 1941.
Just to kind of fill it in, you know, but.
That shot of Dumbo.
There was also some of the footage from the John Ford when he was on Midway.
Oh, Why We Fight.
Yeah, yeah. Why, well, he was at, he was actually at the Battle of Midway
right.
with a crew, so they incorporate some of that and stuff
right.
like that.
Yeah, You've seen all those, right? Mm-hmm. The Why We Fight?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
John. Right. So check those out. That's just been something I'm watching and enjoying.
I'd like to see that. You say it's Netflix?
It's on Netflix, but you can get the other World War II in color is a whole different thing. This is greatest events of World War II in color. It's kind of... It's only like 8 episodes. I think it goes...
but that's BBC.
It's, well, it was BBC. I guess it was something. Viasat is what it was called. Here it's on Netflix.
Have you seen on Netflix Our Planet?
I just saw the preview for that.
Oh, it's so good. And then they even have the after the show. And is like it how they filmed everything.
Is it Richard Attenborough?
Attenborough? Yes, it is.
Yep. And you know who his brother is, right?
David Attenborough.
Who is...
David.
Big X.
Big X.
Mm-hmm. In Great Escape.
Great Escape.
And?
And directed Gandhi.
And welcome to Jurassic Park.
And welcome to Jurassic Park.
Anyway, Santa Claus.
They have the same voice. You listen to, when you hear the...
It's very close.
I didn't realize they were related.
Yeah, they're brothers.
I just thought, oh, it's another Attenborough.
The it's tree slug.
When you hear it, it just sounds... I was telling
the tree slug. Patrick,
I'm like, yeah, exactly.
The tree slug. Here we have the three-toed sloth.
It just sounds like... it sounds like Winnie the Pooh is narrating that video, though.
He's just a little gray rain cloud.
Wow, Sterling Holloway.
Yes. I'm.
But it's so good. It had me cry a few times.
Wow.
Cry? You really feel... Yeah, because they come up with this whole narrative for the animals, and I guess they just watch them for a long time, and you just cry.
This clownfish has been searching for a home for 3 years.
Yeah.
It's guys get good
by a barracuda.
When I was a kid, all we had to hear was... John and I just had to hear... The Calypso cannot refuel here. We must drift in the waters of the Adriatic.
Jacques Cousteau in the Underwater Kingdom. Or Jacques Cousteau.
Or we had to hear, well, Jim goes out and wrestles the tsetse fly.
Marlon Perkins.
Yeah, let me tell you more about Mutual of Omaha.
Yeah, Robert Klein used to say he'd tie that in to a pitch for Mutual Omaha Insurance.
That's right.
Just as the mother rhino will stomp somebody to death to save her young, so Mutual of Omaha will fix you up with.
There was a fun doc. I forget when it came out. Probably maybe late '80s, early '90s of dinosaurs. It was all claymation.
What's that?
There was like a stop motion.
What was that?
Like documentary about dinosaurs. Like
Gumby.
Gumby.
Was it Gumby?
Was there like a
maybe
stop
wrong
motion or computer animation?
Maybe it's, I don't remember.
Did he walk through a book?
No, it wasn't. It wasn't Walking with Dinosaurs, which came out a little bit later.
Oh, it was that,
really good.
It was the one on A&E. It was all CGI.
Was it?
Yeah.
Okay. Claymation. I'm thinking Gumby.
No, you know who tried to do a claymation dinosaur was documentary was Ray Harryhausen.
Right.
Remember he was going to do a. Trying to do a whole thing about from creation to like...
Yeah, and he used some of those ideas, because what was it? He saw King Kong and flipped out, so he said, I'm going to try one that's all dinosaurs.
Yeah.
I think it was going to be called Creation, yeah.
Dinosaurs.
And I guess he used some of that stuff in his later movies, yeah.
Patrick's been very quiet today. Are you okay, Patrick?
Mm-hmm.
Is it because we made fun of your boyish alt-right looks? What's going on?
No, just being calm and quiet today.
You have a little bit of a cold.
Mars, mm-hmm. Yes, you do.
Uh-huh. I hear your voice.
Maybe it's the coronavirus.
Oh, I hope
great.
So.
Great.
I mean,
more people have died from the flu, guys. Worry
corona.
About the flu, not the coronavirus.
I got a flu shot. Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
I got one in October. You know?
Oh, I got mine late.
Well, the flu season goes through February, so
okay, yeah, I'm good.
And I don't know. You know, I am a firm believer in the flu shot, but they never guess the right strain. It's like they go, we got four or five all in this one shot, and it's never the one that's out there. You know, they try, they guess. They're guessing like a year ahead of time. Which one's going to hit, you know?
Yeah, it's hard.
I don't know. But so what?
It's like predicting
it's what
the
she said.
I see.
I also have a cootie shot.
Ew.
Yeah.
Cooties.
Who has cooties?
Her.
Get gross.
Where'd you get them?
Me.
Gross.
We can keep going.
White people are carriers.
Is that right?
Yeah, we used to call it smallpox.
Wow.
Damn.
That's valid. That's,
yeah, you're not wrong.
That's Europe, you know. That's like
hey, that's Europe.
It's like, hey, you want some blankets?
Yeah, oh. Thanks. That was your whole conquest.
You know, when you hear that, you go, oh God.
That was your whole strategy.
When you finally hear that, you're like, Jesus.
Right?
It's worse than all the massacres put together.
Biological warfare.
Mm-hmm.
Napalm, hydrogen bombs, biological warfare.
Yeah.
I'm a 20th century man and I don't want to be here. You know what I'm saying? John?
I hope they spend, when that hits 50 years, I hope they give it a big, I hope they give Lola a big.
They
center.
Better.
I was thinking about what a great album that is, and they better just keep going with these 50th anniversaries.
We're of course talking about the Kinks.
I know. How do we go from smallpox to, you know, Lola got to get a 50th anniversary edition.
Well, all the diseases came from Europe. We know that. The plague.
Yep.
Smallpox.
Yep. Because
they're dirty.
Cold white service. Privilege.
Yep.
I didn't want to take it that politically. I was about to say this.
I'm fine with it.
So yeah. I already saw it in your eyes.
I was about to say the Spice Girls. Is what I was going to say.
Spice Girls. Yep.
I saw it in your eyes. Your eyes went up. Like,
tell me what you want. What you really, really want. Nobody's going with that, man.
Nope.
Do they have other songs?
Nope.
They have like I think only four albums. And when I was there, they did. All their albums.
But I mean, was there another hit? They must have had another hit besides that one
that,
song.
So the songs that you guys know are all from the first album.
I see.
And then there's a few other ones from Spice Up Your Life. With Spice World. That one was really good.
I don't know any of these songs.
Is that a theme park or something?
Oh, that so they open? Good.
So they're talking like, you know, cumin and coriander and salt
cumin?
And pepper.
Cumin?
And, you know, paprika.
Coriander.
Okay, do not besmirch salt and pepper. All
I
right.
didn't say salt and pepper. I said salt and pepper.
Damn.
Yeah, he doesn't
very
know how
different.
To say it like that.
No, because I'm not talking about the musical group. I'm talking about the spice.
I will today not have I anyone.
Learned, today I learned what ground coriander was.
Oh, what is it? It's cilantro.
It's a spice.
Oh, I don't know. I just saw what it looks like now because I had to buy it.
Coriander
we...
cilantro.
Ah.
It's the cilantro seed.
Cilantro.
Isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Well, I had ground coriander.
Some people, if you're allergic to coriander, you can't drink gin.
Can't drink
gin has botanicals in it. And coriander's among them. So for my gin drinkers out there, tip a 40 to the homies that can't ingest coriander because they can't have gin. They can't like have gin. A drink that tastes like Christmas trees.
Ugh, that's all it tastes like. Just Everclear.
Delicious.
You know, if you go Hendrick's. Hendrick's does not taste
tried
like
it.
Christmas
don't like it. Hmm. I don't like gin. It's dry.
If you want a keto drink, you just drink vodka and tonic.
If you want to be my lover, you got to get with my friends. Which sounds like a weird invitation if you think about it.
Yeah.
Gotta bang them first before you bang me.
What does it mean?
It means my friends better like you.
No, that's not the way we take it.
Gotta get with my friends.
Yes.
Which means you gotta bang all her friends.
Yep, that's the way we understand it.
And then they have to give you the seal of approval.
We're men. This is how we're breaking
it. Do you know what the next line is?
They all
gotta
be like, he's got good dick.
Do you know the next line?
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Huh? Do you know the next line? Make it last forever.
Why are we talking about Nixon?
Because friendship never ends. Right.
Well...
Friends
with benefits.
Yeah, thank you.
I know guys hear that song and think a whole different thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Than what they're singing.
Just sounds like a massive orgy.
Well, they have a song that they just kept changing the words in it to become one. Because there's a line where it says boys and girls look good together.
Mm-hmm.
Then they changed it that everyone looks good together. Yeah.
You gotta get with my friends, make it last forever. Friendship never ends. If you want...
How do you feel right now hearing that?
Good. I know what they look like.
Who's your favorite? We never asked you this. Who's your favorite Spice Girl?
Right now, it's Sporty Spice.
No, all time.
All time?
Mm-hmm.
My all time, it's changed a few times. But...
It's Old Spice.
Can we talk about something else?
I used to like Jerry because I thought she was super cute with her red hair.
If you want my future, forget my past.
Yeah.
That's something a hoe says.
But why does it have to be just the girl? A guy could be a hoe, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Guys are more hoes than women usually.
God, have you guys heard I'm Crying by Lizzo?
Yes.
That is
I'm crying.
Oh, my God. That is... Talk about... When she, have you heard that song, John?
They just did it at the Grammys, right?
Did you hear it?
No.
Have you heard her play the flute yet? She's amazing.
She plays the flute.
She's a flautist?
Yes.
How about that?
Shout out to Anita.
She'll be at like a concert and she just busts out her flute and starts playing, and she's amazing.
Wow.
Oh yeah, she does jazz flute.
Yes.
Not since Ian Anderson has a pop star.
There's a joke in
there. Without a flute.
Joke in there somewhere.
She did that one where she did the Ron Burgundy scene.
Yeah.
And just busted out of her sleeve.
Listen to these pipes. Listen to this.
She's so good.
I'm crying because I love you.
Now then. It's my anthem.
Never been in love before. What the fuck are fucking feelings, yo? Once upon a time I was a hoe. I don't even want a hoe no more. Just something from the liquor store. Little bit of Lizzo and some mo. Trying to open up a little mo. Sorry if my heart a little slow. I thought that I didn't care.
How about that, John?
So that's what the kids are listening to these days, huh?
Come on, John.
Was that whole Grammy show kind of dedicated to Kobe? Were they all
doing
songs for Kobe?
Did they? Who won the best artist? Was it?
Well, Billie Eilish won everything, right?
Is that true?
She won everything. They said that's
won a lot.
Best fingernails.
She got four. They say it's only happened once before. Like best new artist, best record, best song,
great.
Best performance. You know.
And now they're gonna do. She's doing the new Bond.
I know.
That's like, the kiss of death right there.
What's crazy is they recorded it in her and her brother recorded it in their bedroom, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The whole thing. Yeah.
Yes,
wow.
They did the whole album.
Phineas.
Her brother's name is Phineas?
Yeah. Isn't that crazy? Phineas J. Whoopi.
Phineas
J. Whoopi, you're the greatest.
Yeah.
She's great.
I don't know enough about Billie. I haven't listened to one.
I don't think I've heard anything.
My cousin took pictures
of her. I just played Lizzo and John was unimpressed. I'm really hurt right now.
Well, you know me.
How did you not like that?
It's fine. She has a good voice. It's obvious. Yeah.
How did you not like that?
I don't know. You know my taste.
I would definitely look up.
If Aretha Franklin did that in the 60s, you would be
Yeah. Telling no, she's me that, definitely got the pipes. Yeah.
John. I can't look at John right now. I'll get over it, but that really hurt. That hurt. That cut me deep. Stop.
When we're done recording that, I'm going to show you when she just busts out her flute. Ah. She was like at Coachella, I think, when she bust out that flute.
Bust the flute out.
It's so funny.
Let's bust a flute.
She's amazing.
I love her.
Yeah.
Thanks. Thanks for the. I got a shout out to Anita who turned. And then I feel bad because Nicole had been listening to her. She's like, "Yeah, I've been playing that."
I know. When you said it on the like, on the station, I was like, "Yes, Lizzo's the best."
And Nicole's always on. Nicole introduced me to Greta Van Fleet. She listens to the radio more than I do.
So she's ahead of the curve.
She's ahead of the curve. Yeah. And so you know, here I come. I'm listening to the Kinks for the umpteenth time, and I hear this. I hear this.
You're listening
Lizzo.
To your iPod all the time.
106.7. Damn,
listen
K-Rock.
To my
your
Zoom.
Old iPod. Oh, your Zoom.
My Microsoft Zoom. Okay. All right, guys. Yantan! Yantan! Yantan!
Digital movies! Digital movies! Digital movies!
You're in the club!
And then he whipped out his flute.
And then
he busted out his flute.
Yeah, but I didn't play with it.
That was very impressive busted. On Patrick's part.
It was.
I put in some effort today.
Yeah. He's a world famous brain surgeon.
The only time we doctors should accept death is when it's caused by our own incompetence.
Inlay scalpel, Metzenbaum scissors.
Who wants only one thing in a woman?
Get the cat out of here.
The perfect mind in the perfect body. Steve Martin's out of control in The Man with Two Brains.
I'm watching Patrick's face. It's the best.
Were you out on the lake today kissing your brain?
Of course, I'm the most beautiful woman I've ever known. All my life, I wanted women with great bodies.
Why? I had the top of her head off, but that's as far as it went.
Go touch that!
Steve Martin.
How do you not like that score,
John? That score is awful. It loses points on that score. All right.
So it's down to a 9. The Man with Two Brains is a 1983 American science fiction comedy directed by Carl Reiner and starring Steve Martin and Kathleen Turner.
Rotten Tomatoes?
Rotten Tomatoes.
6.4?
Nope.
3.9.
No, I think IMDb is like a 6 something.
Nope.
6.9?
Get it right.
Might as well try it again.
What is it?
Get it right.
Get it right. 6.8.
Whoa.
Whoa, hello.
Mm-hmm.
I just said that.
I made this.
Wow. Let's talk about it. I'm trying to find it here.
Just curious.
We need to know.
I thought you stalled us enough.
I'm trying. No, not stalling him.
I can't even remember if this was a hit. I hadn't seen this since 83.
76%.
Oh.
76%.
That's interesting.
Was it a hit?
Yeah, of course.
6.4 on IMDb.
There
I was
go.
Right.
Good job, buddy. All right, let's talk about it. John, you had not seen this since it was released.
Since 83, and yeah. And I couldn't remember anything about it.
And you were really hoping we'd do Dead Men Don't Wear Plaid, which we didn't do. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's my favorite Steve Martin movie.
But what did you think, having not seen it in a long time?
I laughed. You know? So it's a comedy. If you're laughing, it's
this,
doing
this
right.
one, this movie's so dumb, but I
it
can't,
is.
It's dumb, but it's one of those comedies where I feel like it gets forgotten with things like Airplane. It's just so dumb, you're just laughing because it's dumb.
And you know, after this movie, he doesn't do these kind of movies anymore. Yeah. Like The Jerk and all that, where it's just all sight gags and just silly cartoon stuff.
Yeah.
He starts doing like Roxanne and LA Story.
Yeah,
and all
5 years later, he's doing Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, which is fantastic.
So he gets a little more sophisticated. This is the last. This is like Jerry Lewis.
Yeah.
This is like a Jerry Lewis level.
I just like the. Carl Reiner is always fun. He's a fun director.
Oh, yeah.
He does like. I think he's underrated. He doesn't get the love that Mel Brooks gets.
No.
But I feel like he does a lot of the same type of gags, sight gags, a lot of bad puns.
Yeah.
These kids don't know, John, but when they revealed who the murderer was, how did you?
Yeah, I forgot. So I just about fell out of my chair. That was just perfect when they pan up, and also the way he's all, I can't lurk anymore. They're like, oh hey, and they recognize me, so it's not working out. So I went to Europe to kill people.
You know, I just love killing. And he says it in that Merv kind of way.
It's perfect. You could just tell that Carl Weiner said, just do it like you do your show.
Yeah.
Like, coming up next, somebody I really like a lot. You know what? And I love that you got a little taste of him. She's watching the TV, so you get a little...
Yeah.
You know, you get a little foreshadowing, you know.
You get to see a lot of Kathleen Turner.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love Kathleen Turner. And this is only her, like, second movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Her big breakthrough is Body Heat, where she's playing a femme fatale.
Yeah.
So this is, like, 1 year later, you know. So this is, and I think 1 year later, after this, she's doing Romancing the Stone.
Yeah.
So she's, like you said, she's got about 10 years of, you know, War of the Roses.
Yeah.
You know, Jessica Rabbit.
She's also mm-hmm. going to do, she was the voice of Jessica. Did you recognize the voice of Jessica Rabbit, everybody?
No.
Mm-mm.
It was Kathleen Turner, the wife.
Oh. Okay.
She's not bad, guys. She's just drawn that way.
Yeah. So I looked that up. It's only like her second movie. So
She plays a black widow in this one, just marries men and then kills them off.
Yeah.
Then you get Sissy Spacek as the voice of the Brain.
Uncredited.
Which is fantastic also.
Mel Mahan.
See, it's so dumb, but you laugh.
I love through the whole movie, like, how he's correcting.
You fried her nines.
Dr. Huffer.
He keeps correcting all through the movie. He's correcting. Well, you almost got it close. Yeah.
It's Dr. Huffer.
And only Steve Martin can do it like that, with that.
Huffer.
I love it. Look.
Patrick loved it.
I'm going to say Patrick for last.
It's silly.
Because he hates.
It's just silly, but it's a lot of fun.
It is. It's a dumb,
it's a hell of a lot of fun.
The whole, is this, what a lovely apartment. And it's like a castle inside.
I love that. David Warner.
David Warner.
How's your closet space?
I love that. Well, these walls are like paper, you know? I just love when he sees all the brains in the jars. He's like, I'm like a kid in a candy store. Don't touch that, you know?
And he puts his hand straight in. Yeah.
Jake, good. I know you're a lover of dumb comedies. What did you think of this one?
It was all right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there are a couple scenes that made me laugh a little bit, but overall I'm like, this is just a little,
I'm really sad.
A little too far out
when
there.
When he's in
for
the
me.
Boat with the jar and he's got the wax lips on it and the hat.
So ridiculous.
Were you, I saw you. You were on a boat kissing.
Kissing the brain?
Must have been someone else.
Oh. Kathleen Turner is lovely in this one, though.
She really she is. Lovely.
You can see what made her a star back in the 80s.
Oh, boy.
Do it, John.
Oof. And, you know, about 10 years ago, I saw her on stage doing Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf?
And how was she?
She amazing, my
Who
God.
Who is Afraid of Virginia Woolf?
She's doing the Elizabeth Taylor part.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. Who was the husband?
Bill Irwin.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. It was really something. So she's still at it. She's still out there doing stage stuff. They also did a stage production of The Graduate. She played Mrs. Robinson.
I can see that happening. Jake, so nothing? Nothing just didn't...
Yeah, nothing. I mean, there's
just
not...
Just didn't race, make your pulse race?
Oh, no.
You didn't laugh?
A couple parts were kind
really
of funny.
I wasn't sure how you were going to feel about this.
Yeah, I don't know why.
Yeah, this isn't a huge... This isn't big in the Steve Martin pantheon, but it always makes me laugh.
It's silly. You said, it's like Airplane. It's just silly.
It's dumb, and it makes me laugh, and you can quote it, and Dr. Huffer.
Those first three movies are like his albums.
Yeah.
They're just like super silly, a lot of non sequiturs and stuff.
Yeah.
And then after that, he just moves on.
Justine, what did you think of this one?
It was okay. I just felt like they were trying to make me laugh at things that, like, it's too cheesy for me to laugh at this. But his commitment to his role is pretty good.
What I love about it is, you're right, everybody's committed. Everybody's playing it very broad.
They don't break.
Kathleen Turner's doing this really broad, like, you know, I hope you're happy, you know, that kind of thing. And then the whole thing in the beginning where she won't, that whole thing where she just keeps teasing him, where she's like, that whole thing is awesome.
She's like, next Thursday, today's Monday.
He breaks the glass, that whole gag with the broken.
Oh, thank God. Oh, yeah.
Then it's the gardener. The gardener of all people. He's like this.
Oh, he's got the hat, too.
Yeah.
He gets up and the hat's just hanging there.
It's just kind of dated, I thought.
It is. It's so dumb.
It is dated. The soundtrack
is bad jokes.
Extremely dated.
Like, what about the sobriety test? You know, like that?
What's great is because you know he can juggle, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
He's wearing tap shoes when he goes back to his car. Jesus.
I mean, he worked at Disneyland. That's the sort of thing he could do.
Sure.
He could juggle and all that stuff, you know? I love how he's all, God, your sobriety tests are tough.
Patrick, let's talk about it.
Loved
how
it.
Did you feel about it?
Favorite scene.
I like the paper walls. It's about the only part
there,
I liked.
Was there stuff to find to enjoy aside from Steve Martin?
So, sans Steve Martin, I really like the concept of the movie.
Yes.
I think that's fun and it's entertaining in its own right. But he makes it really difficult for me to enjoy it.
Because you don't like Steve Martin.
I don't like Steve Martin. Yeah, so and I struggled to laugh. I really struggled to laugh. Like, I couldn't find a moment where I was just like, okay, this is funny. I get it. It's just like, it was hard for me to get past.
Yeah, don't struggle. Just watch it and go, man, this sucks. That's
turn your
this,
brain off.
Yeah, this is this whole.
My brain was very off.
You either laugh or you don't.
You have two brains.
And if you don't
laugh.
Yeah, I know. That was the problem.
It's failed. If you didn't laugh at it, it's failed, you know, because that's all a comedy supposed to do.
I mean, it's just, it was, I don't know if it's because it was dated. I mean, yeah, it's obvious you can tell.
They say some bad things.
But it's very much a Steve Martin movie, and I think that just, it didn't do anything for me.
What prompted your hatred of Steve Martin?
I don't know. Like, I just, like, of the movies I've seen of his, I don't like them.
Father of the Bride?
I don't like Father of the Bride. It's annoying.
Father of the Bride is the best.
Have you seen those old Saturday Night Lives where he's the host?
I've seen a couple of them.
He did about 20 of those, and that's where his fame came from. He was almost like an honorary member of the cast of Saturday Night Live. And most people that have fond memories of him, it's from those appearances on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, and then I can't appreciate a movie that really blatantly throws around the N-word for comedy. Oh, that's kind of like, it was a little tough for me.
I don't remember that. Was that in this movie?
Yeah, she says it. When she's insulting him, she uses almost every derogatory term in the book.
Right, that's right. Yeah.
And it was just, I was just like, okay, this is, I don't like it.
Yeah.
That's
how it is when you watch 90s movies, too. They still say bad things.
Well, wait till we get to Do the Right Thing, and then we'll...
It contextually really didn't make sense.
No, yeah, yeah.
It didn't fit, and I was just like, okay, so they're saying it for the fact that they find humor in the word.
It's Carl Reiner trying to be Mel Brooks.
And I was just like, no, I'm good.
It's tough. You know, Blazing Saddles works because
it's contextually worked, yeah.
It's the point he's making.
Yeah,
exactly.
That you're dropped.
This movie is not trying to make that point.
No, they use it as an insult for an insult stake.
It's just kind of a cheap shot.
But, so, I mean...
It's just like that scene in Trading Places where you're like, wow, that just took me out of this.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, like I said, I like the concept of it. I like sci-fi movies like this. I think that it's a really cool idea. I couldn't get past Steve Martin and I couldn't laugh.
I still love you, man.
That's okay. I mean, I'm hoping someday I'll find a movie of his that I fall in love with and like.
Dead Men Don't Wear Plaid.
Cheaper by the
closest.
We're coming up.
The closest I got was Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. That was enjoyable for me.
I'm going to make this prediction. If you don't like Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, then there's no saving you.
Okay.
And it's coming up.
And you know that
or
might.
Or Father of the Bride 2.
No. Fuck both those movies.
You know, that might be just about that. Him and Michael Caine, that might be the funniest movie he's ever done.
Yeah. Yeah, so
and the cleverest you get,
or
Frank Oz directing,
or Bowfinger. He's great in Bowfinger with Eddie Murphy.
I never saw Bowfinger.
Oh,
I don't mind watching them because I want to give them a chance. Like I'm fine with that. Like
I feel like I'm gonna make a prediction. If you can't, if you don't like Dirty Rotten Scoundrels,
then I won't ever like him.
There's no hope for you.
Might never
also in that movie, he's not playing a Steve Martin jerky character. He is playing like a con man.
Yeah,
and Michael Caine is going. Note for note, it's a different character. He's kind of done playing those dopey characters, which is kind of like what a lot of people do, you know, like, except Jerry Lewis just kept cranking him out.
Yeah.
Woody Allen did like 5 movies where things were really broad and silly, and then he just said, well, that's not what I'm going to do anymore. I'm going to do a different kind of comedy.
Yeah.
You know, like Bananas and Take the Money and Run, those were all very broad, silly.
I will continue to give him a shot.
I love you for that because I gave up on Jim Carrey years ago.
It's okay.
I got movies for you. It's okay.
We're good. Dirty
Rotten. Oh, and then Jim Carrey trying to be serious. Oh.
Doesn't always work. I did like The Truman Show, though.
I like The Truman Show, too.
Truman Show's great.
But that's like a black comedy. That's not really him
No
being
me gusta.
Do you like The Truman Show?
You don't like Truman Show?
She likes
What about
Truman
Eternal
Show?
Sunshine on a Spotless Mind?
No. Yeah, I like
Eternal
that, too.
Sunshine. Mm-hmm. I thought that was good, too.
I like Jim Carrey.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Ace Ventura, When Nature Calls.
Nope. Let's rank it.
The Mask. Liar.
The Mask. Liar, I do like.
Okay.
I know that is just perfectly
you can't
constructed.
Hit that one.
Yeah.
Ooh,
yeah.
Liar. That's when you just want to hit
Cable
that.
Guy.
That's a good. Ooh, no.
Yeah. That was like.
Yeah.
His
Wait,
only
say,
time.
What? Oh, no, God.
What kind of O face do you think Jim Carrey makes? Probably just a big,
O,
rubbery,
O.
Just some kind of like Tex Avery cartoon face.
Arrg!
Yeah.
Brrg.
Yeah. Justine, let's rank the man with two brains. If it's anything below a 7, you're fired.
I give it a 5.
Patrick?
2.
Ugh.
Wow.
I give it a 5.5.
Jake? What do you got, Jake?
5.5.
All right.
Wait, your call. Didn't change. Your opening answer would change.
It's like, come on.
John Tandy.
This is not his best. I give it like a 5.5.
I'm going to give it a 6 just because I don't love it, but it makes me laugh. And I had kind of forgotten about it. And then I was like, oh, yeah. And
I was surprised that after 30 years, it still kind of holds up.
It kind of holds up.
Did you get this movie with?
Nope.
He bought it by itself. Okay.
Bought it by itself. Purchased it.
It's weird to watch. It's almost like digging something out of a time capsule. To watch something from 83 that you haven't laid eyes on since 83.
I know.
I couldn't even remember watching this. I did.
Like a sale, and you were like, oh.
No, he likes Steve Martin.
I do, but not enough.
You went out of your way to go buy this movie.
Let me tell you this. I don't think I paid more than $4 for that.
Okay, that's
fine.
So
do you own Father of the Bride?
No, I would never.
You know what it is?
Sorry.
That's a different phase of his career. When Mario and I roll our eyes over that, because after Parenthood, he's in a different phase.
Yeah.
That's when I knew him. I knew him from Father of the Bride when I was little.
And you saw Parenthood?
I just loved him. No, I never saw Parenthood.
You would like it if you like Father of the Bride.
But like after that, that's what I just watched his career like after that.
But he's playing dads and stuff, right?
Yeah.
So he's just a dad to me.
So
that's like only knowing Robin Williams when he's done like Wild Hogs and
or Good Will Hunting and not knowing that he did all these other movies.
Well, no, I'm talking about comedy-wise. He's only done like these weak tea comedies that aren't very,
You know, there's a whole phase of Steve Martin's career before he's playing dads,
Just like Robin Williams.
Yeah.
I love him as a dad.
Interesting.
All right, here we go with part 2.
That's a remake of the Spencer Tracy one, right?
Yeah. Father of the Bride 2, filmed right here in Uptown Whittier. High five.
Yeah.
And then is it Martin Short playing the interior decorator?
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
I wonder who directed those. Are those like Frank Oz movies?
Let's look. Father of the Bride.
Because I watched that movie and I was like, oh, Pasadena is really beautiful, because that's where they're supposed to be in, I believe.
Oh, and Diane Keaton plays the mom.
Yes.
Right? See, they both walked into Bookland. When I was working at Levels, they walked into Bookland.
Together?
Yeah, because they were shooting like a block away.
Charles Shire.
Okay.
The second one is directed by Charles Shire.
So my buddy works at Bookland. They come walking in the door and they're very low key. Neither one of them want to be recognized. He runs in the back and gets Cruel Shoes and says, "Will you sign this?" And he's all, "Yeah, sure." He was like that. He was always trying to get signatures. So he's all, no shame whatsoever. He ran in the back and got his book. Hey, would you sign this? And they're just trying to be low-key. They're like, sure. They just didn't want everybody like coming to glom on them. They just wanted to walk in and look at books and then go back to the set.
Yeah. Father of the Bride 2, based on Father's Little Dividend, which is a sequel to the original Father's
Elizabeth Dividend. Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
So who's playing the Elizabeth Taylor part?
The girl.
The girl.
The daughter?
Yeah.
Who's the daughter?
She didn't do much after that.
Okay.
Mary Stuart Masterson.
Yeah.
Seems like someone like that. Was it Mary Stuart?
I don't think so.
What happened to Mary Stuart Masterson?
Remember, she was just in that movie you watched with the Santa Claus Chronicles or whatever.
She's the mom.
Yeah.
She did a lot. She was very cute girl.
Mm-hmm.
Like an Anne Hathaway type, right?
Yeah, yeah. Kimberly Williams Paisley is who she was.
Get me a Jamie Gertz type. Who's Jamie Gertz?
Oh, remember Jamie Gertz?
Get me a Jamie Gertz type.
Less than zero. Here we go. Holiday
This summer, when you think vacation, think National Lampoon's Vacation. See the real America.
Hey, underpants. Hey, yellow.
It's friendly.
I'm okay.
Don't you want to look at the Grand Canyon?
It's educational.
Great.
And most of all, it's fun.
John, why is there a dog barking?
Lindsay Bucket.
Did anybody else hear that howling?
Beverly D'Angelo. Imogene Coca. Randy Quaid. John Candy, and Christy Brinkley.
Well, are you gonna go for it?
This is crazy. This is crazy. This is crazy.
Take you for a ride. This summer, when you think vacation, think National Lampoon's Vacation.
Better check under the hood.
My brother,
thanks for being my, study buddy.
Whoa,
of course, we're
going to
make sure.
My brother.
No, thank you.
My brother took me to see this at the La Habra Fashion Square, which is no longer exists, and a double feature with Jaws 3D.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Jaws 3D.
Was that like a color coded? Was that the one where there's a red and a blue and a green? Was
the old Jaws 3D. Like, yeah, and it was terrible, but my brother and I laughed our heads off at Vacation.
Who was it Michael Caine in that Jaws 3D?
No, that was Jaws 4. Oh, Jaws 3 would have been Dennis Quaid's brother, Randy. No, I'm sorry. Randy's brother, Dennis, who we just saw as Gordo.
Gordon
Quaid? Cooper. Yep, Dennis Quaid was in
Gordo.
So we saw the Quaid brothers. I never even put that together. Saw a Quaid brothers double feature, Jaws 3D and National Lampoon's Vacation. John, this movie was a smash
hit
back in the day.
It was.
It was huge. It was massive. Let's find out how it held up. Let's talk to the kids. Of course, this, I mean, there's a million vacation movies now.
There's four.
There's European.
Plus the reboot.
There's Christmas.
And Vegas.
There's Vegas, and then the reboot with
Ryan Reynolds.
Ed Helms.
With Ed Helms. Andy Bernard. All right. 93% on Rotten Tomatoes, guys.
Wow.
93%. 7.4 on IMDb. Is that 93% because of nostalgia, John? Or is it because people have watched the movie recently? Let's talk about it. With a budget of $15 million. Would anyone care to guess? $5 million. Would anyone care to guess what this movie...
173 million.
36.
Nope.
I'm gonna guess like 50 million.
Higher. We're doing an HVH thing. You get one guess, Justine. On a budget of 15 million, how much do you think it raked in?
60.
So close. 61.4.
Did I say 60? I meant 60.8.
It quadrupled its money. Quadrupled its money, guys.
How about that?
Randy and Dennis, huh? Young Anthony Michael Hall.
Yeah, it's kind of the first thing he ever did. He's like 12, it looks like, or 13 or something. Yeah.
Little appearances, but you got your Brian Doyle Murray.
Yeah, always. If it's a Harold Ramis movie, you're going to have...
You got your Eugene Levy in there.
Yeah.
He gets all the SCTV guys in there.
Well, because he was in it. Harold Ramis was in the original SCTV cast.
Okay. And then you got your John Candy, of course.
Mm-hmm. Always great. Yeah.
Super good is the get a very bad infection.
I always get sick on your rides, Mr. Wally, but I didn't get sick this time.
And this was based on based on a story called Vacation 58 by John Hughes. He did write the screenplay.
I remember reading that story in National Lampoon before he was a movie guy. He was just writing stuff for National Lampoon. That was just about the funniest thing I'd ever read, because in that short story, it's Disneyland.
Yeah,
and he. What he does is, when he finds out Disneyland is closed, he finds out where Walt Disney lives, like it's Holmby Hills or Beverly Hills. He goes and he's in the backyard having like a conference or something, and he's got a gun and he jumps over the hedge and he puts a gun to Walt Disney's head, like, you're gonna open that park.
That's the ending that they filmed and they scrapped it.
Oh, really?
So Chevy Chase is. He supposedly says he has it in his original movie,
kidding.
But he's the only one to have it because everyone else says it's lost.
How about that?
So when they showed that part, when he goes and goes to the sports place, they do go find his house. They go there. He holds the gun up to him, tells him to open up the place. And then there's another scene where he's in the plane and it takes the wrong route. And then he gets mad at them too and holds a gun there too. But they said that the audience didn't like that ending. So then they reshot the ending and went back. And then that kid grew. He had a growth spurt, I guess. So he grew because it was
Anthony
4 months
Hall?
Later.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus. How about that?
I mean, just a couple of years later, he did Weird Science.
He does Breakfast Club, all the
16 Candles is like the next thing he does.
He's like the nerdy kid. And then how does he wrap up the 80s? He's the villain in Edward Scissorhands.
That's right.
Which is crazy.
I did not know that. So somewhere there's footage of the original ending.
Yeah, I read the whole thing, but he's the only one that has it because they said it's lost, and he claims that he has it. So that's not even...
You know, I mean, it makes sense. It reads funnier than it would be. As a matter of fact, that's the way the story ended. The kid ends the story going, it was a great vacation if my dad hadn't put a gun to Walt Disney's head. That's the way he ends the story. You know, if he hadn't tried to kill Walt Disney, it would have been a fairly good vacation.
I love it.
And that's before anybody knew who the hell John Hughes was. And then all of a sudden you see his name on all these movies and you go, son of a gun. That's the guy that did the, you know, the Vacation 58 story.
Sure.
Yeah.
John, did you love this when it came out? Did you?
I didn't. I must have been the only person that didn't really dig it. And watching it last night, I still don't think it's all that funny.
Yeah.
But I'm the minority voice on that because everyone loves this movie. It's beloved. I'm just not a huge Chevy Chase fan. There's some great bits. It just wasn't. I just.
You like Caddyshack more. You don't like when he's carrying a movie.
Yeah. I like, you know, I was just never a big fan. I thought he was really funny on Saturday Night Live. Fletch was funny. He's funny in The Three Amigos.
No.
Yeah, Caddyshack. As a matter of fact, Caddyshack is probably the essence of what made him funny.
You like him better as part of an ensemble.
Yeah, well, I don't like him when he's playing the dopey dad. It's funny because that's the sort of part you couldn't imagine him playing when he was doing Saturday Night Live.
Uh-huh.
So the fact that he ended up playing all these dopey dads, you know, I just don't find that funny.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know. Yeah, much funnier in Caddyshack, I'd have to say. That's the probably the best Chevy Chase performance.
You don't even like a Beverly D'Angelo?
Yes, I love Beverly D'Angelo. Yeah. Yeah, no. Yeah. She's
What about Randy Quaid?
Everybody's funny in this.
Imogene Coca, John.
Yeah, I know.
Comedy legend.
I know. Hey, nobody's bad in this. It's just not my kind of comedy.
What's the name of the dog? Yeah. Biscuits. Dinky. You don't even like Dinky?
A lot of this stuff read funnier than it actually, when you see it on the screen, it's, I don't know, that just sounds stupid, but I just remember laughing much harder at the at the story, you know?
So you think if you hadn't read the
I don't know.
Story?
I don't know. I'm just not, I'll tell you, the number one thing is I'm not a big Chevy Chase fan, and him playing a dopey dad just it leaves me cold, you know?
All of a sudden, you're like a real Patrick about this.
A real Patrick.
You know?
Although, as God is my witness, I will find a way to get everyone to watch Dead Men Don't Wear Plaid.
What about what if we don't like it?
What's that?
Dead Men Don't Wear Plaid.
I think for all the old movies we watched, like 30s and 40s, I think everyone will get it. You know, I think that'll be fun. Yeah, I think especially because Humphrey Bogart's in it. No.
What?
They cut him. It's a black and white movie. They cut him in with all these old dead stars.
As long as he's playing a bad guy like he is. Then it's fine. Just like in the other
Treasure of the Sierra Madre. Yeah. Yep. You get to see him go crazy.
I'm like, oh, this is him.
You know what it is? It's like Forrest Gump before Forrest Gump. They're cutting him in with all these dead actors. Mm. Then they put it in black and white. They have it. They cut it real quick.
They just did that in another movie we watched.
Zelig?
No.
Right
Stuff.
Oh, the right stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, they did that. I was surprised.
Imagine an entire movie where it's Steve Martin and like... you know, 20 old stars are no longer around, and they've got him talking and interacting because it's all shot in black and white. They get the clothes
hard to do.
That doesn't sound Once upon a
time. I thought it was crazy in the that right stuff.
Entertaining to me. That just sounds like a bad time.
You know what? I would almost,
just get mad.
I would almost bet money that Patrick would laugh at that.
Okay, we're going to watch Dead Men Don't Wear Plaid.
Can you bet a pizza?
We're adding that.
I'll bet you a pizza that you will laugh at it.
Cauliflower pizza.
Okay.
You know, like him doing the coffee and all that and the adjusting. That's just...
We're adding that to next week's 300th episode.
I won't be here, thank God.
Wait, what?
I have to work.
Oh, we're not doing the 300th episode without you. You're going to be
here. You're going to watch it. I want to be here, but I have to work.
Okay, we're taking next week off then.
We can do it Thursday.
Nope, John can't be here Thursday.
Friday?
I work.
John can't be here.
I could be here.
How about Monday when we're at Disneyland?
I'm not going to be at Disneyland either, you jerk.
I could do Thursday.
No. I can't. I work.
You know what? It gives us another week to watch three movies, you know? Quite frankly, we're going to have
You guys can still do a show and just do a...
Then you know what? Let's add a fourth movie on if we're going
to
be...
No. Three's going to be tough enough to actually...
No, we're adding a fourth movie. We're going to do Dead Men Don't Wear Plaid.
For the 300th episode.
Yep.
Dead
Men
Don't Wear Plaid.
Okay.
What year is that?
It's before...
Or do you want to wait?
It's before The Man with Two Brains. It'd be better to give that an extra... You know, three movies. I'm telling you, three's going to be tough for everyone.
We used to do them every week.
Four?
We used to three easy.
I know,
three,
but four.
Three over two?
Yeah. I mean, think about how many times people say, oh, yeah, I watched it last night. I just barely squeaked in with the last
That's your fault.
Yeah.
That's our fault.
I'm trying to tell you guys to not do that.
But
nobody listens to
me. I would bet. I'll bet a pizza that it'll at least get five laughs out of Patrick.
All right.
5 good laughs.
You better need a piece of paper, tally every time you laugh.
I'm going to take a marker and just write.
So Justine's got to be watching with him. And
I want a cauliflower pizza.
So we started at, Patrick will love it. I'll bet you, and now you're
I didn't say love it.
Did
I say love it?
You thought he would enjoy it.
I think you would enjoy it.
Now you're down to 5 laughs. See, now you're really...
5 laughs out of Patrick? I think that's going to be pretty good.
You're doing the...
for a Steve Martin movie? I'm not going to say like 20 laughs or something.
I would be
like
impressed.
That. Now you're doing the Mystic by that much.
I don't know. We'll come up with something. But Justine's got to be the one that gauges it. Like he's really laughing. He's not like biting his lip or saying, I didn't laugh. Like watching it alone and saying, I didn't laugh once.
I won't fight it. Like if it's funny to me, I'll laugh.
But we've got to have somebody there to...
I won't spite just because it's Steve Martin.
But we got to have a witness. It's got to be a witness. To watch you laugh.
I'm going to sit right next to him the whole time.
You got to count them.
Can I spray my mouth with silver spray paint and say, witness me?
What the hell does that mean?
What?
That's from...
What the hell does that mean?
It's so okay. Weird.
We have 15 minutes, so let's
oh, sorry about that. I took you off the rails there. Sorry.
Jake, what'd you think?
It was all right.
It was all right.
It was all right.
Jake, you usually love this kind of stuff.
Jake, you usually love this kind of stuff.
I think John hit the nail on the head with the dopey dad thing. With, you know, I just didn't. Yeah, it was all right.
Justine,
I liked some of the darker humor with like the dog and the mom and the grandma. I thought those were funny, but
Patrick asked me because we've never seen it. Mm-hmm. He goes, so is the dog being dragged right now or is he in the trunk? I'm like, he's been in the trunk. He's in the trunk.
Wasn't in the trunk.
And then they get pulled over. I'm like, holy fuck.
Well, you're paying attention because most people just forgot that the dog was tied to the bumper.
I try to look for small details a lot.
That's why you don't enjoy anything.
Yeah, that's when you know he's not enjoying it because he's looking for details.
So he'll be looking at the wallpaper going, how come that doesn't match?
Hey, that wallpaper doesn't match. It wasn't seen before.
Justine, what'd you think?
It was okay.
You guys are really
I liked
good.
His dedication to the door when he's walking back to his car and it's flat. He just like straight up walks to it and tries to open the door and just looks at it. And I'm like, this is just ridiculous. It's like this movie's going to be ridiculous. And then when they're on their car ride and they're singing Mockingbird, I told Patrick, I'm like, do you think that's why Dumb and Dumber did that?
Probably.
Yeah. And I'm like, I just never realized. And then there was a song that played that Patrick was making fun of me for.
The song that plays throughout the whole movie.
Holiday Road?
Yeah. They just started a different portion of it. And she goes, oh, that sounds like that other song they were playing. And then it literally says Holiday Road. And she's like, oh.
That's Lindsay Buckingham. And that's something I never noticed before was the dog is barking in time. So, rah, 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 rah.
It was just, it's a bit predictable. And you just get a little upset during it. I think I prefer the Goofy movie over this. So
the Goofy movie?
Yeah.
Now that's a vacation movie.
Is that a vacation movie?
Let me tell you.
It's pretty much like
this
movie.
What I noticed Road here trip. Is how much... He steals from himself in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Yes.
He kind of I think he kind of refines some of the ideas in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Sure.
And
refined, works, I don't know, but...
It works a little bit better. Like the scene where Clark falls asleep, I think it's funnier in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles when they do it.
You're right. Yeah. He's sort of self-plagiarizing.
Yeah, yeah.
But he's got themes. All through his career, he's got themes.
Yeah.
Where he's playing with the idea of being the outsider.
Yeah, just watching it, you're like, I've seen this, I've seen that.
Yeah, again, you're watching things in, you know, remember the context. This is, you don't think of what you've seen before. Think of what you've watched before on the Digital Movie Club.
Right.
And you think of it like, we haven't really seen a comedy like that yet.
And I feel like his wife was really pretty. I don't know why he kept straying.
No.
She's really pretty.
That's the thing. When you see her in the shower, you're like, gee, I wouldn't leave her for Christy Brinkley.
Yeah. Like, why are you leaving
like we just talked about with Eddie Murphy.
Yeah.
After you're married a while.
Barely enough.
It tastes like saltine. Saltines.
It tastes like saltines.
If somebody gives you a Ritz, you're like, oh my God.
So let's see. In this analogy, Christy Brinkley would be the Ritz.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then, honestly, if I didn't have my workout right before this, I was going to blow out my hair because I love their hair in the holes. Both things we watch, their hair is blown out.
Yeah, please don't.
Did you recognize Jane Krakowski? Do you know who Jane Krakowski
is? Where was she?
She was the little blonde daughter. Daddy says, I'd kiss the best.
She's from 30 Rock.
Yeah,
that's
Jane Krakowski.
That's why I was like, she looks so familiar.
Yeah, yeah.
She pulls out all her weed.
Yeah. You know, it's not cool to be a farmer. Oh, yeah? Well, look at this. Yeah.
Hold my purse. Why?
Look just what
hold
I my grew. Purse.
Yeah.
So funny.
See, you guys, there's funny stuff. There and is. And then you guys
I just,
give
like,
it a five.
Watching it, I didn't laugh.
But funny, but a few funny parts doesn't.
John Candy?
The whole movie.
Well, he's great, but I mean, that's 5 minutes out of the whole movie.
John Candy. On a roller coaster.
I read that they were all very upset during those scenes.
Oh, why? Really?
They were getting sick.
Oh.
So they kept taking motion pill sickness. Oh. And like, they're all just really upset throughout the whole
movie. Oh, thing. Wow. How about that? And that's Magic Mountain, I think.
Yeah. Yes.
It's Colossus.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
Patrick, let's hear from
him. I saw that. I'm like, that looks so familiar.
Patrick, here to save it.
It was much funnier than Man with Two Brains. I agree. I like him more as like the suave, debonair kind of guy from Caddyshack than the goofy dad. I totally agree with that. No. I think it's a better suit for him. But that being said, all the shenanigans he gets into is kind of funny. It's pretty good.
Because he does have that little... He does have a charm about him.
Just the whole scene when they get to the farm and he finds out he's taking Aunt Edna with him. I died inside because I was just like, oh, you poor son of a bitch.
Could you been there?
And then he's like, oh, yeah, sure. How much money do you need? $52,000. And he just puts the money back in the wallet.
Nope.
Oh, God.
He's really good at those real quick little...
Yeah, like there's some really cool small moments mm-hmm. that like pop up that he does that's really funny. Just like when he goes out to the bar, he puts the shoes on because he's just like, fuck it.
Yeah,
the white alligator shoes. Yeah.
Well, just the whole thing where he's really, you know, what I know it is, like John, you said, it's kind of painful to watch, but the fact that he loves his family so much and he just wants them to have this good time, like, it's really, you just got to feel for him. And that whole scene about you'll be whistling zippity doo dah like when he finally just melts down. That's such another John Hughes thing. He does it in that play where he just finally flips out and, you know.
Yeah. When he punches Morty Moose.
Exactly.
Wham. When they get to Wally World, that I think really sealed the deal for me. That moment's just really funny.
But I remember when Disneyland used to be closed during the week, too.
No, it never closed during the week.
Yes, it would be closed during the week.
Never. It would close early.
Never.
They wouldn't close it during the week.
Never.
Yes, they would.
Nope.
Look it up.
Never once.
Disneyland didn't close the day Walt died. Trust me, they never closed.
I wonder if, like, in the 50s, it ever had, like, a day or two.
Maybe your parents just told you Disneyland
was closed. Yeah, your parents used to tell you, it's closed today. Google.
No, honey, it closes on weekends.
I think, you're Mario, probably like after the 70s, no way. They probably never closed, period, you know. But I wonder if, like, back in the old days, they might have closed to do a maintenance or something.
Even if someone died on a ride, they probably just closed the ride down.
Nobody's died in Disneyland. They always die outside the park.
Mm. Oh, I don't know about that. Like the guy that stood up in the Matterhorn?
In the early years, it closed Mondays and Tuesdays during the off-season. Didn't I just say that?
But you didn't read. You didn't. I like how you a lie of omission.
A lie of omission. You have been watching the impeachment proceedings.
Since then, it has only been purposely closed once. That day was May 4, 2005, in order to provide a media day for the start of the park's 50th anniversary celebration.
This is the start of that entry that you did not read. Disneyland has rarely closed since it began 7 days a week, year-round operations.
Because I remember.
That was your parents' line.
It being closed, though.
Yeah, that was your parents being lying.
They lied.
Disneyland never. If there's a chance to make money, they're open.
Absolutely.
Sorry.
Right.
Also, Patrick, when you guys stumble over your words, I don't do the. Don't do that to me.
I didn't do what?
Don't ever do that. Who did that?
Wasn't me.
Not me.
Was it Jake?
No.
Who did it to me? I will stop right now. I will listen again.
I stutter. It wasn't me.
I will kill somebody for doing that.
You do.
I do stutter. It wasn't me. I'm not an asshole. Yeah. I mean, I'm an asshole, but I'm not an asshole about when somebody's talking like that.
I really hate that.
I may correct you on how you pronounce something.
Like Slovenia?
Slovenia.
Slovenia.
I won't make fun of if you stutter. That's just cruel.
I hate that.
It was Jake.
On the show.
Jesus.
I'm saying it right now on the show.
I love it. It's not just that I didn't. It's now, that I know
you
did.
If you misspeak and you say something funny, we're going to make fun of you.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
But if you're trying to scramble for words, you don't. No. We don't do that on the show. Okay. That is a no-no.
We'll listen to the show and find out.
I want to find out.
Somebody's getting a write up.
Somebody's getting
three demerits.
Somebody's getting written up.
Demerits.
We got to figure out what we're doing about it. Oh, let's rank a vacation, everybody.
Okay.
Sorry, I had to get like a dad there, but I'm
no kidding.
Yeah. How does it feel? Call you out.
How does it feel?
Call who out?
Was it you, John?
Really? Is that the way I am?
I've been called out so many times on this show. It's normal.
I know.
Would I do that?
And no, I don't mind.
And
listen,
furthermore, would I do it to
let
you?
Let me really get to the bottom of it because this is serious. It's okay if we do it to one of you guys.
But when it's you.
When it's me, mm-hmm. I am a sacred cow.
In that case, I wish I had done it.
Sacred cow.
If you're going to phrase it like that, I wish I had done it.
No kidding.
I'm like Sinatra. You guys are the Rat Pack.
All right, now you're really pushing
nobody.
It.
Hey, Pally.
There's not one Rickles in here. All right.
And now the end is near. There's, and so I face the final curtain.
None
I'll
of,
break your legs, you motherfucker.
And now you end is near. There is no Rickles among you, all right?
Jake's close.
That's a compliment.
It is. What?
That's a pretty big compliment.
I don't
know. What's that mean?
He just said you're close to Don Rickles.
He's not. What's that mean? Don't ever say that. Don't ever say that.
I love that. Who's Don Rickles? It's like.
There you go.
I love that. Who the hell's Don Rickles? Never mind.
There you go, John. There you go.
See? Yeah. He's more of a Fred Travellino.
Don who?
Oh, nice.
You're like, nice save.
He's more of an Art Matrano. Yeah, da, da, da,
yeah, da. Well, because he does a great Walter Brennan, and that's pretty much Fred Travellino.
Go.
Yeah.
Do it, Patrick.
Jake. Patrick.
I can't do it.
Do
God,
it.
I love that.
Do it.
That's so weird.
Do it, Jake.
Do it.
You're Walter Brennan.
He's all, I'm not a performing chimp. I don't
I'm
do
not
this.
A parrot.
I don't do
chimp.
This.
I really thought that Jake was going to sing Holiday Road today.
No. Mm. I blocked it.
You know, it's interesting.
I didn't hear it.
That's Lindsey Buckingham, so I guess that would have been the height of his powers.
I know, weird. Justine, rate Vacation quickly.
I gave it a 5.
Jake.
6.5.
John.
4.
Patrick.
6.5.
I'm going to give it a 6.
God, I was the lowest score on this.
You really don't like
actually,
it.
Yeah, I would say 6.
Don't worry, we're going to bounce back.
I also...
I regret that extra half.
Nah,
we're gonna give it 3. So next week for our 300th episode, we may have to come up. We have to postpone the 300th episode.
Blame it on me.
Okay, but when we do it,
I almost didn't
week,
tell you till the day before. But that would
why
just been
would
a jerk
you
move.
Why would you have to
that
would have
been really fucked up.
I mean, we could get a guest. If you
yeah,
want.
If you want, it's up to you guys. I don't mind. Like, I totally understand. It's something
it's
that's
been,
out of my control.
How long have we had this cast? We really ought to wait. So it's all 4 of us.
Listen,
mm-hmm. I know you're going to say, listen, I make the decisions.
Yeah. Also, hey, trust me. I know. I hate doing stuff without you guys.
Also, my 300 episode, none of yours.
Guess who's been here for 300 episodes? Me!
Okay.
All right? Me!
My birthday.
I stand corrected. Mario was all, don't you ever correct me on the air.
Listen, don't ever make fun of me. Ever.
Can't do the stammer thing.
Make fun of me. Don't ever do that.
Okay.
Don't also.
That's pretty douchey.
Do it
I didn't
amongst.
Hear anyone
thank
say
you,
anything.
John.
It's douchey, but I didn't hear anybody do it.
I didn't
so
hear anyone
didn't,
do
I didn't either. I
didn't
think
either.
It may have just been you.
I think that was just your stutter.
Well, yeah, I didn't hear anything.
You may have been hearing yourself do it. You're just making fun of yourself.
All
right, guys,
there.
I got to cut this short because I'm going to prove some people wrong. So for John, for Jake, for Patrick, for Justine, we say this transmission ends now. Fight the power. I'm not even going to put music to this thing. So long, suckers. We'll be back with our 300th episode eventually.